Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Today's show is really straightforward. The headline is Trump Wins, the Savage Nation Rules. Welcome to the program. If you care to join the program, it's 855-400-SAVAGE. Trump Wins, the Savage Nation Rules. Today's show is very clear. This program, the Savage Nation, has risen to national prominence through the current victories of Donald Trump. For 21 years, my message has been borders, language, and culture. My last 3 to 4 best-selling books, if you look at them, which you're going to scan today, you'll see my solutions for saving America. And many of these bullet points or talking points have been and are being used by the Trump campaign to the credit of Donald Trump and, of course, to the benefit of the United States of America. And I'm going to take credit not for getting out the vote. I certainly wouldn't take credit for that. I did not do that. But for being the architect of Trump's messaging. There is no way to refute that. Everyone who understands the realities of what Trump is saying and why he is popular understands it's related to what I have written going back several books now and what I've said on radio since 1994. And I'm going to begin today with Trickle Up Poverty. That's 4 books ago or 3 books ago. I will read to you what I wrote then and tell me how it differs in any way to what Donald Trump has been proposing. Remember this. I've been on the air for 21 years. My message has been consistent. Borders, language, and culture. Tell me how that differs from Donald Trump's Make America Great Again. It's almost the same message. It's a single slogan in his case. People need single slogans. Of course, it's not the same exact slogan. But fundamentally, Make America Great Again means borders, language, and culture. We all inherently know that. And so today we're going to look at some of the points that I have raised in these books, and you'll come to understand why the Savage Nation has now risen to the top of the American mind, and the Savage Nation is now winning. A listener on Facebook wrote this. He said, in the words of Mark Twain, in the beginning of change, the patriot is a scarce man, and brave, and hated, and scorned. When his cause succeeds, the timid join him, for then it costs nothing to be a patriot. Everything that has been and is being said about Donald Trump has been and is being said about Michael Savage from the beginning. The very same attacks. He's crude. He's vulgar. He's this. He's that. He's going to destroy the conservative movement by being so vulgar and so rude and so crude. Well, guess what? The people love it. And there's a reason the people love it. And I'll tell you why. I think I've told you why over the last few days. It's quite clear why the people love it. I said that Trump is like a cage fighter, and we want him to bloody our enemies. We want him to vanquish our enemies. We are so sick and tired of seeing America dragged through the mud. We are so sick and tired of seeing enemies, domestic and foreign, kicking America in the teeth, virtually tearing the hair out of the Statue of Liberty and stepping on our cloak. We're sick of it. And we have someone who we think can stand up for America in plain English. Is that clear? I mean, what do you think? It's not like rocket science what's going on here. It's very clear. We've all been waiting for someone to come along to carry the banner of America. I don't have to say that Obama has not done that. I mean, that's a given. It's an emptiness that is filled by the obvious. Many people have said we need a man on a white horse. He's the man on the white horse. As imperfect as he is, he's the man on the white horse. He's the gladiator. There he is. There he is. It's that simple. Now, I'll go into the details of the books in a little while, but I want to talk about that in a general way for a second. I look back on my life, and I look back on Donald Trump's life, and it's very interesting to me. We come from different sides of the tracks in Queens, New York. You may not know that. I've said it before. Many of you have never heard it. Union Turnpike is a long street that runs down the center of a large portion of Queens, New York. On one side, there were some wealthier enclaves, including the one that Donald Trump grew up in, Jamaica Estates, which was near Cunningham Park. The houses were beautiful. I haven't been there in so many years, I don't know what they look like. Today, they probably look like small houses to me, in the sense of where I live, what I've become, and such. I happen to live in a small 2,000-square-foot cottage, incidentally. I have residences in other places. I never go to them. I'll be honest with you. But he lived in a mansion, in short order. I lived on the other side of the boulevard, Utopia Parkway, where there were attached houses and semi-attached houses. If you know what a row brick house is, they were built all over middle America, lower middle class America. And they were the first step up from apartments for many poor people. And we came from an immigrant family. We lived in a rental apartment in the Bronx, New York. And we first moved to Queens, New York to a rental, the upstairs floor, I'll never forget it, of an attached house on 170-something street. And to me, it was a paradise. There was a green lawn in the backyard. Could walk to school without stepping over garbage or being bitten by a rat or attacked by anyone in the streets. It was the promised land. And it was interesting to me that as my father worked harder and harder, we wanted to buy a house. We kids, of course, couldn't wait. And so we bought this little 20-foot by 100-foot lot house attached to the neighbors on both sides. It had a little garden. It had an upstairs, a downstairs, and a basement. It had a little garage below it. It was the American dream. We had made it. Of course, we wanted to move across Union Turnpike to the estates. We knew we'd never get there. We thought we'd never get there. Well, the point is, we breathe the same air. Now, I went to Jamaica High School. I then went to Queens College. I never went to a so-called private college. I wished I could have, but we didn't have the money, and I didn't have the ability to go there because my father wouldn't pay for it. It's that simple. He said to me, if you can't get a scholarship, you're not going. Either you earn it on your own or do whatever you have to do. He said, I'm not paying for it. I hated him for it, I'll be honest with you. I never forget, as long as I live, what he said to me one day in a car. I turned red when he said to me, I'm not paying for any private college. If you want to go, go to a city college. Whatever you're going to do in life, you're going to do on your own. Now, what does this have to do with Donald Trump? I'm an outsider. Is he an outsider, really? I don't know. He's built skyscrapers all over the world. He's built golf clubs all over the world. What have I built? My books are my buildings. My books are my buildings. I've always been a person of ideas. I've always been a person of ideas, and I built my buildings in my books. My books, if you stood them up and you made an island and you put the books up on their spines, I would say those are my buildings. And maybe they'll last, some of them. Some of the ideas will. Maybe they won't. But those are my buildings. And many of the ideas in the books are being used right now in America, and they're becoming the parlance of America. People are allowed to say it freely now without shame. They're not embarrassed. They're not afraid. I received an email this morning. I won't read the man's name because it was in confidence, from a major news organization that has blacklisted me, Fox News. They won't let me on. Well, this man's been inviting me on for two times now. And he asked me to debate the candidacy of Donald Trump this weekend in front of 500 students at the Students for Liberty Conference. And I said, I can't go there. But I wrote this. I said, you have no idea how honored I am to be considered for this important debate. I would love to do it, but the travel is impossible for me. Trump is hated because of many factors. One, his message is that of the savage nation. I've been preaching borders, language, and culture since 1994. Two, he is outside the political structure and therefore a threat to the established political order. Three, he is pompous, arrogant, crude, and bullying, exactly what the people want in a new leader filled with so many vicious threats, both internal and external. You can quote me if you wish during the debate. I will actually be reading this on my show today. It's my topic. The savage nation rises. Trump's victories reflect our message. That's the beginning of the program. I don't want to dip into the books yet and prove to you that what I'm saying is 100% true, but I will do so shortly. Again, if you care to join the conversation, the phone number is 855-407-2822. Let me go back, actually, now that I have a few seconds here, to Trickle Up Poverty, which was the first bestseller in a long sequence of one bestseller after another. It was published at a time in 19, I don't even know the year anymore. The time has flown, 2010. God, where has the time gone? But if you look at the back of the book, and many of you bought the book and read the book and passed the book around, I put together a list at the back of the book called The Savage Manifesto, Borders, Language, Culture, and Economics. It was chapter 11 of Trickle-Up Poverty. And I quoted Albert Einstein, where he says, "The world is a dangerous place to live, not because of the people who are evil, but because of the people who don't do anything about it." I heard that many different ways when I was growing up. And so I wrote the book, and I wrote some ideas. And tell me how they differ from Make America Great Again. Close the borders. I'm quoting my own book now. Use illegal aliens to build a wall between the United States and Mexico. Hire Sheriff Joe Arpaio to oversee the project. Pay the illegals for their labor in the form of a one-time worker fee. Upon finishing, repatriate them. Next, defend the borders. Pull the troops out of Germany and South Korea where they're doing nothing and put them on our southern border where there's a real threat to our citizens. Defending South Korea can be done with our ships and subs with their tactical nuclear weapons. Next, I wrote, defund and repeal Obamacare. Sound familiar? I wrote, remember how the Schechter brothers overturned FDR's socialism? Sue on the grounds of religious freedom. Use Schechter brothers' strategy from Chapter 5. Next, reduce the size and scope of government. The federal government is bloated. With the exception of the military and defense, reduce all departments in size by 4% each year for a total reduction of size by 16% over 4 years. Require government employees to speak English and to have achieved at least a high school diploma. You may not know that that's no longer, those are not requirements under Barry. Oil for illegals, I wrote, in Trickle Up Poverty. Mexico has what we want, oil, and we have something they don't want, their unemployed citizens. To offset this alien invasion, Mexico should pay one barrel of oil per month per illegal alien that sneaks into our country. Americans are also owed tens of billions of dollars in reparations from Mexico for the generous free health care, welfare, and ACLU care they've received for five decades. Next, I said, strike down the Anchor Babies law. Eliminate the loophole in our law that encourages illegal immigrants to enter the country for the purpose of having anchor babies who become instant U.S. citizens simply because they happen to have been born in our hospitals. Next, I wrote, export jailed illegal aliens. Our federal, state, and local jails are overcrowded with 2,396,002 inmates as of 2008. That's much higher now. Of that number, 29% are illegal aliens. That means approximately a third of our prisons are filled with non-citizens. I wrote they don't even belong here, yet we're paying an average of $29,000 per year to house, feed, clothe, and entertain them. It's higher now. Send them back to the country of origin. Next, I wrote, use profiling to prevent terror attacks. Does that sound familiar to those of you who are doubting Thomas's? The attempted terrorist plots in our own soil follow a definite pattern. All these acts were carried out by radical Muslims. Shrewd police work requires common sense. If acts of terror repeatedly come from people who practice a certain religion, and if all these acts are in accord with some twisted notion of their holy book, prudent police work would dictate that we immediately employ national, if not religious, profiling to stop the next terrorist before he or she succeeds. It takes the breath out of me to have to even read that recently the ACLU sued the New York Police Department and made them remove one of the most important documents ever written by police. I next wrote this, name the enemy. Identify radical Islam as the enemy. Demand that the Attorney General, in that case Eric Holder, stop scrubbing federal policies and communications of truly descriptive words such as terrorist and jihad and Islam and start telling it like it is. Furthermore, don't extend the rights guaranteed to American citizens to enemy combatants. Don't prosecute them in civilian courts. That's eerily chilling me because Obama now wants to bring the worst terrorists on the planet from Gitmo to America to afford them all of the benefits and protections that we as citizens so proudly have. One of my next points was impose tariffs on China. Many of these points in the Savage Manifesto that are found in Trickle-Up Poverty are what's making America great again, the slogan that's making Trump rise again. Trump wins, the Savage Nation rules back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth and financial future. Call 1-800-289-2600. It is the Savage Nation. Trump wins, the Savage Nation rules. So where do we go from here? Well, we'll have to wait and see where we go from here. He seems to be unstoppable. It's a reaction to what this creature in the White House has done to us, what the feminists have done to us, what the illegal aliens have done to us, what the lawyers have done to us, what the Islamists are doing to us. And the question is, will he go all the way? I hope so. But I want to go back to what I'm saying, and I'm going to take credit for it, because there's an adage from a great man in the 1300s, or in the 1100s, sorry, when he wrote, "If I am not for myself, who will be? If I am only for myself, who am I?" I never forgot that one when I learned it about 25 years ago. And we're living in an age where you have to promote yourself. No one's going to do it for you. And I live in a very competitive business. It's one of the most competitive businesses in the world, talk radio. There's no support fundamentally. There's no lights, cameras, action. No women, no legs, no lipstick, no high heels, no flashing lights. Basically, what we live on are ideas and our voice and our delivery. You think about that one. Think about a show that we're doing in radio, all of us. It's a one-man show with some great support. But nevertheless, it's a one-man show with callers. But it comes out of our head, our heart, and our soul. But if we don't have the ideas, we're not going to last in this business. It's as simple as that. If there's no fundamental basis to our what we are saying, if it's just hot air, we come and we go, like the liberal radio shows have come and gone. The Savage Nation right now, the ideas that you've heard on this show for as many years, months, or days you've been listening to it, are why Trump is popular. Our time has come. Our time has come. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Our time is now. Borders, language, culture. No one has more consistently professed, expounded, lobbied for, filibustered for America than I have in talk radio. No one. There have been others who are on, who are great. Everyone has their own following. There's a lot of overlap. There's a long day part, room for everyone. But no one has articulated the message of borders, language, and culture as long as I have, as consistently as I have, through thick and through thin, through rain, through snow, through depression, through manic, through ups, through downs, through sickness, through health, from winter to summer to fall to spring, around and around and around. I never let up on borders, language, and culture. I never let up, no matter what impediment was thrown at me. And believe me, I've had many impediments thrown at me. There will be many more thrown at me. Trust me on that one. And thus far, I've been fortunate enough to overcome every one of them. My career ended, then it started again. I was banned in Britain, but not banned in America. I've been reviled while being copied. I can put up with all of it, because today is a day of victory. I was the first one in talk radio to back Donald Trump. And I'm proud to tell you that I hope Donald Trump goes all the way, because if the witch wins, this country will devolve into civil war. Let me be very clear. I watched that woman last night for a few minutes during a so-called town hall, and I saw the face of evil. I saw pure evil. I saw a combination of Winnie Mandela. All she needed was a series of tires and telling people to go out and get the tires and do the necklacing. I have never seen anything as vile as Hillary Clinton was last night. Vile in her racism and stirring up hatred between blacks and whites. It's as clear as a bell to me what this woman is, and that she will stoop to the lowest possible level. She'd set the nation on fire to gain power. She must be stopped at all costs. Here is a woman who has violated every rule of government. I don't care whether you're a Democrat or Republican or an independent. The woman has violated every protocol of government service with her email scandal. Any other employee of the government would be in prison now. certainly indicted by now. Look what they did to General Petraeus for 1/1,000th of what she did. How does she get away with it? And if you want that kind of despot running America, my friend, you're inviting civil war and total chaos in this country. And that's why Donald Trump is our only hope and our last hope. And frankly, I think that's exactly why he's come along at this time. If I were to look back on his life, and I don't know him that well, I've read his autobiography, I've read his biographies, I've studied a little bit. I would say this man was groomed to be a leader his whole life. I would say he was groomed to be the president his whole life. Say, wow, what do you mean? He's so crude, he's so rude, he's so arrogant, he's so pompous, he's so bullying. You mean he lets himself be seen for what he is? As opposed to a faker like Obama who makes believe he's Mr. Nice Guy while putting a knife in our back? While literally ripping the dress off the Statue of Liberty and throwing her into New York Harbor? But he smiles and he acts like Mr. Nice Guy, tells us that he's a constrained guy when it comes to the budget, while he's blown the budget through the ceiling, destroyed the national debt ceiling, telling us he controls it? No, my friends, people want honesty. And what I hear over and over and over again from people who like Trump, even though they don't like some of his policies, it's consistent. He's not owned by anyone. He's not beholden to anyone. He's not a career politician. Nobody owns him. Isn't that what you hear? Isn't that why you like the guy? That's why you like the guy. Now, who was the first one in the media not only to support Donald Trump, me, but who was the one who also told you that he's going to get a huge percentage of the Hispanic vote? Why did I say that to you? What do you think, I just made it up out of hot air? Remember that I have a very, how shall I say, rigorous background in the field of studying, learning, reading. I did it for years and years and years and years and years. I said it because I studied Donald Trump and I realized something about Hispanics, Hispanic men in particular, if you can generalize for anyone, and you can more or less generalize to a certain extent. I said Hispanics don't want a woman telling them what to do. It's a macho culture. Did I say that, Robert? Hispanics in particular, it's a macho culture. And they don't want a woman hectoring them and telling them how to live or taking care of them. They don't want it. And most Hispanics that I've seen come here, they want the American dream. Let me be very clear. I walk around. I bicycle past. I'll give you a simple example. I bicycle by a series of 5 to 7 houses that are being built. I've watched them go up from dirt. And I've watched the workers. I've seen the industriousness of the workers. From the time the ground was bulldozed to the finish work, which is now going on the houses, the painting, the gardening that's going in, it's all Hispanic workers. And I say, my God, what industrious people these people are. Look how hard they work. What do you think, I'm blind? And I know what they want. Some of them at the lower level of the skilled laborer or unskilled laborer side, they drive broken cars or they come to work with friends who bring them here. On the upper end of the laborer side, they have new trucks, or almost new trucks. And they all go home, I can guarantee you, to a wife and children. That I can guarantee you. It's part of their culture. And what does a man who has a wife and children, or a wife and a child, want for himself and his family? He wants a better life. And who is going to give him that chance at a better life? An old woman who screams about how bad the country is and tries to pit one race against the other? Or a man who has built buildings all over the world and is a billionaire. A man who gives them hope that they can be richer in this country. They look at him and they say, I want to be like him. They don't look at him and hate him. Like that creep Bernie Sanders, that gutter rat who tried to stir up hatred in the country because he's a loser. A loser who couldn't get anywhere in this country. A lifetime Lower East Side soapbox loser. Preaching hatred for class warfare because he couldn't even make a dime. The bum couldn't even be a carpenter. Yeah, ask his friends, read his biography. He tried to be a carpenter when he was a young hippie. Couldn't even be a carpenter. All he could do was preach hatred, Bernie Sanders, and class warfare. They said he wouldn't stop talking about how much he hated the rich. So now he's gone up in flames. Why would any Hispanic vote for him? Why would any man vote for a man like that unless he himself was a resentful human being? So now you look at this Trump. Yeah, we know all of his negatives. I don't have to repeat them. What's the point of repeating them? So what? So what? In the world that we live in, we don't need someone who's over the top, bigger than life. someone who's going to stare down our enemies and tell them to go you know where. Someone who's not afraid to stand up to our enemies, domestic and foreign. It was interesting to me that over the weekend, even Harry Reid said something nice about Donald Trump. I thought that was amazing. Harry Reid, who's not afraid of any Republicans because they're all wimps. And Harry Reid, who is a former boxer, likes a good fight. And he only respects power and he only respects winners. Men who are willing to get in the ring and fight with him. And he hates the Republicans because he has no respect for them. He knows they're a bunch of nobodies. A bunch of pink-tied crybaby, probably on Prozac, all of them. Every other day, another Republican was breaking down in tears on the floor. Where is he now, John Boehner? Where is that guy? The capitulator, the quizzling of our time. Where'd he go? So Harry Reid had no respect for them. Over the weekend, Harry Reid suddenly had respect for Donald Trump. He said, although I don't agree with his ideas, at least he's honest, he said. He's like me, says what he believes. Harry Reid said that. And the rest of them, the corrupt ones, they're terrified. They're shaking in their boots. They are burning emails around the clock. They got the paper shredders running in offices from San Francisco to Washington, D.C. because they're afraid that there's a new sheriff coming to town, and they're afraid they're going to wind up in the slammer. Make no mistake about it. The corruption in America at this point under this guy in the White House has never been this high. Never in this century, certainly never in the last century. I never saw anything like it. I never read about corruption at this level. Never. What do I mean by corruption? Oh, come on, the green gangsters. You just touch that one. You just lift up that green rock, and you can see the Solenterates crawling away who've been feasting on the humus of corruption. The green gangsters from San Francisco, they're terrified. And they're afraid they're going to get caught. Here in San Francisco, there was a guy, Leland Yee. You probably don't know him nationally. He was just given jail time today, I think 5 years. He was a state senator. State senator. You'd think he was untouchable. He was arrested, took a long time. He was tried for corruption. The FBI caught him on a tape. Trading, I don't know what it was for money, bribes for some kind of a bill. Well, he's going away for 5 years. And it's sending a chill right up and down the most corrupt city in the United States of America, San Francisco. Now remember, this started not under Obama, the case against Leland. It started under a previous U.S. attorney, I believe. I don't think that could ever happen. But let me get back to Donald Trump. They hate him because they fear him. And I'm taking credit today because I was the first talk show host in America to support him. Not because I know him. Not because I've been promised anything, because I haven't. And I would take a loyalty oath. I'd swear on a Bible. I would take you could take my deposition if you wanted. I would be willing to go to a court of law and swear on a Bible that I have never ever discussed with Donald Trump anything to do with my life before, after, in politics. We've never, ever met. I met him only once in my entire life, casually in passing, at his club in Boca Raton, Florida. He was very cordial to me, as was his wife and his young son. That was it. And then one other time I was there. That's right, I was there one other time. Never asked me anything about what I would want for my support, because he wasn't running at the time. Nor did I say, hey, Donald, I'll support you if. I never did any of that. Take me to a court of law. I'll take that oath right now. I hope everyone else in talk radio could take the same oath. But the point is, here we are. Trump wins, the Savage Nation rules. My solutions for saving America from my books are being used by the Trump campaign to his credit. And I'm going to take credit, not for getting out the vote. I certainly didn't do that. That's not what I did. I didn't do that for the last few months or weeks. Did I come here and tell you to vote for him? I never did. I just told you why I like him. And why do I like him? Because many of his ideas are my ideas. Some of them probably were heard on my show by him over the years, either directly or indirectly. I want you to remember what I just said to you. I wasn't born yesterday, and I didn't start in talk radio yesterday. 1994, I became a national host in the year 2000. From the year 2000, I was heard across America. At different time slots, it doesn't really matter. People get into cars at different times of the day. They heard this gravelly New York voice in New York I used to be on WOR. I've been on WABC now for a long time. For a while, I was off the air in New York. Then I was back on the air in New York. And everyone in New York who has a brain heard me at some point, whether they got into their limo or their taxi cab. I know many of you are taxi drivers, and you run my show in your cabs live and loud. You have for years. I've got a lot of emails on that. Whether you got into your limo, I knew a network TV president's wife who lived on Park Avenue who told me that she would have her driver stop the car outside the garage just to listen to my show every day. I've had a huge success in New York in ideas. It doesn't matter how high the ratings were or this or that. I'm talking about ideas. My books are my buildings. Donald Trump is a builder who's built magnificent buildings in New York, Atlantic City, Florida, golf clubs, Dubai, I don't even know where, all over the world. He's a builder. I wouldn't know the first thing about building a one-story house. I wouldn't know how to put a foundation down. He does. Think of the people he's had to work with to build those buildings. Think of all of the complexity to get the unions in line, to get the concrete poured and not stopped, to get the electricians not to walk off the job. Do you know what is involved with that? That's exactly why he's going to be a great president, because he knows how to negotiate. And I mean, I could denigrate some of the other candidates, but what's the point? They're losing. They're losing. The people already in their own way understand all of this. Most of them that I know of have done nothing in their life except be politicians. The only ones that are on the stage who've done anything that I can tell on the Republican side who've been something other than politicians are Donald Trump, whose buildings speak for him, and Ben Carson, who's done something real. He's a surgeon. And a great surgeon at that, a pediatric neurosurgeon. I have to repeat to you over and over again. You cannot become a pediatric neurosurgeon through affirmative action. You cannot. It's impossible. You have to perform. And if you don't perform, you don't become a pediatric neurosurgeon. It's not like community organizing. I'll be back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCO.
I'll tell you what we're going to do, right? We get greedy, right? Now we're going to get greedy for the United States. We're going to grab and grab and grab. We're going to bring in so much money and so much everything. We're going to make America great again, folks. I'm telling you, we're going to make America great again.
That's as simple as that. It's as simple as that. 40 actions to save America. We're having a victory lap today on the Savage Nation. Trump wins, the Savage Nation rules. We've now risen to national prominence through the victories of Donald Trump. 21 years, the same message, borders, language, culture. And many of my solutions or talking points have been and are being used by the Trump campaign. And I'm going to take credit for being the first in talk radio to strongly, I did not equivocally back Donald Trump. I strongly backed Donald Trump. I didn't hedge my bets. I didn't one day say I may be for him, not for him, then I'm for Cruz, then I'm for Rubio. I never said that, ever. I was very clear why I was for him, because he was saying what I was writing. Whether he wrote it on his own or someone wrote it for him or he thought it, the man has common sense, for God's sakes. The other candidates speak like academics or politicians. One of my actions to save America in Government Zero is repair our relations with Russia. Hasn't Trump said he would reach out to Russia while that dummy Cruz basically said he wants to go to war with Russia? What more clarity do you need than that one alone? Common sense, my friends.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
What this military will look like after a few years of a Trump presidency, after what this man has in the White House has done to the Armed Forces of the United States of America. I just closed my eyes as we were playing the Anchors Away song. I envisioned our ship sailing proudly across the sea, as opposed to sailors crying like little girls when they were captured by Iranians with a little gunboat. I just thought about that. I just thought about what the Navy would do if the Iranians even came near our ships. They'd blow them right out of the water. That's what would happen. They'd blast them to Allah land, where they belong. Welcome to hour number two of the Savage Nation. Today is a victory lap, in case you just joined us. Trump wins the Savage Nation rules. You can read it on michaelsavage.com or on my Facebook page. I will be on the air, by the way. One of my listeners just reminded me, for 22 years in a month. It'll be 22 years this March 24th. What shall I say? I didn't even know it myself. It was a long time. It's a fifth of a century. I don't even want to think about it, because I start to get into the relativity of time when I do that. It's not a good thing to do. But my message has been borders, language, and culture quite consistently. And tell me how that differs from Donald Trump's Make America Great Again. It's almost the same message. He uses a single slogan. So as the slogan goes, it's not the same. But fundamentally, Make America Great Again means borders, language, and culture. What else do you think it means? We all know that. And I've showed you some of the points that I have written, and I will take credit for it. From Government Zero, four of the first five actions to save America, in my book, all involve immigration. The single thing that started Trump's campaign on a roll. And they include closing the border completely for 7 years, deporting illegals in our prisons, repealing the anchor baby loopholes, and making English our official language. In Zero's strategy against ISIS, the explanation is laid out as to why we have to profile while also stopping Muslim hordes from coming into the country. Another position Trump has been lambasted for in the media, while he echoed my positions on radio and in my writings. Another example, in Zero Business Sense, on page 256 of Government Zero, Trump echoes Savage in talking about China's currency manipulation, which is costing America jobs and giving them an unfair advantage in trade policy. Trump has named names when it comes to conservative Supreme Court justices he would appoint. Recognizing the urgency of the matter, Savage points out on pages 9 and 10 and pages 39 and 40 the very same thing. Finally, from Government Zero, Donald Trump recognizes that climate change has its roots in Marxism and also sees the damage the Pope is doing by promoting this, as is pointed out starting on page 214 of Government Zero in the great chapter, Lenin's Pope. This is the Savage Nation. The phone number is 855-407-282. If you care to join the program, we have one open line, and I'm going to take calls in a moment. Lao Tzu, Chinese philosopher, wrote, "If you do not change direction, you may end up where you are heading." If you do not change direction, you may end up where you are heading. I realize it's odd for an American to think that way, but it has a great meaning. I've always had a very Chinese outlook towards life, no matter what impediments have been thrown at me. You can ask my family. You know what I said to them from the time my kids were little? I used an American Indian phrase with my kids when they were 2 years old, 3 years old, 4 years old. I would take them for walks in the woods, and I would say the Indians or Native Americans who preceded us on this continent had a saying, look to the mountaintop. No matter how dark the valley was, no matter how dismal the valley was that you were in, look to the mountaintop. And I've walked through many valleys. I've walked through chasms where there was no light. I've been in the darkest of forests. I always look to the mountaintop. And I'm not saying that I'm at a mountaintop right now, but I'm telling you what I feel right now. Many of you know, having listened for so many years, that I'm a very intuitive person. I have to tell you that I think that fate or God has a bigger fate for me than where I am right now. You say, well, where do you want to go? I don't know where. Sometimes you have to go with fate. You can't control fate. You can control your destiny only up to a certain point, and then destiny itself kicks in. I have a feeling that destiny, God, or nature, or fate has a bigger something for me than this. Now, what is bigger than this? What is bigger than this? Sitting in an office somewhere with a suit on in Washington, D.C., telling people what to do, giving out contracts and grants, dismissing people, firing people, hiring people. That's not me. There's never been me. I can't stand that life. No, those who are good at it, I'm not one of those people. So don't think I'm angling for a job if Donald Trump wins and he even offered it to me. I have no idea if he's going to win. I hope he does. I've never asked them for anything. I'm going to do it again. I'll get out the Bible. I'll take an oath right here on this show. I have never asked him for, nor has he ever offered, any favors for supporting his candidacy. And it's a challenge I present to everyone in the media. Say the same thing about your candidates and your situation, because I just said it about my pick. I didn't pick him for any personal gain. I picked him because his views reflected my own. And that's why it's a day of victory for you, the listeners, who have supported me by listening to the show. You weren't just listening to the show because you like my voice, or you like my shtick or my diversions. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. But you also fundamentally are listening because my ideas mirror your ideas for America's future and what we needed to save us. And boy, we've been through some very, very bad times. We're not out of the woods yet. It's not over. If the witch wins, there'll be civil war in America. She will pit one race against the other. I watched her last night for a few minutes at the town hall meeting. I never saw anything as disturbing. It's the only word I can think of as her. She was literally pulling a Winnie Mandela on America. She was fueling the hatred of whites by blacks in order to get ahead. This is a frightening thing to watch. I don't even have to mention Bernie Sanders. All you got to do is mention Hillary Clinton. Pitting blacks against whites to get ahead at a time like this, throwing fuel on the fire, being incendiary by feeding the big lie that there's white privilege, that the game is stacked against blacks. It was sickening. We have a black. All I said to myself was, what am I listening to? We have a black president, a black attorney general, a good portion of the executive branch of the government is run by African Americans. What the heck is she talking about? And again, she feeds the big lie like it's the Jim Crow South. Again, fueling those people who have hatred in their souls to express that hatred in the most horrible ways. Everything is at stake right now in this election. And that's why Donald Trump is liable to win, because even Democrats know what's going on. Even Democrats don't like Hillary Clinton. They don't like her at all. They've seen her in action. I'll tell you another little secret. Women don't like Hillary Clinton. The older women don't like Hillary Clinton. Maybe the younger ones do, but I don't think millennials, another name for them. The younger, the college girls. No, they like the idiot Bernie Sanders. They fell for his act, the Pied Piper of class warfare. They went for it because they don't know any better. They were raised on Adderall and Marx, a toxic combination. Adderall and Marx, a toxic combination. And along comes Grandpa telling them it's good to hate someone with something and take it from them because they all stole it from you. So they bought it. But the older women don't like Hillary Clinton. They love Donald Trump. There's actually I'm going to try to pick the right word. There's a romance with Donald Trump. There's almost a frenzy for Donald Trump in America right now. And that's going to help a lot. His family, very interesting. You didn't see them in the beginning, did you? It was all based on his build a wall. It was all based on build a wall. That's what set him off. Right out of my books. Now, did he get it from my books? No, probably not. It's common sense, build a wall. Enough to get it from my book, Stop the Coming Civil War, or Trickle Up Poverty, or Trickle Down Tyranny, or Government Zero. He didn't have to get it from my books. It's common sense, build a wall. It worked for the Israelis. Notice there have been no suicide bombs in Israel for quite a while now. The very same dark forces of liberalism that told the Israelis they were racist for wanting to live, that they were racist for wanting to see their children grow up without being blown up in a cafe in Tel Aviv. And don't build that wall, you Israelis. No. No wall. Let them come in and blow your children up. Well, the Israelis went ahead and built the wall, and guess what? The bombs stopped going off inside Israel. Despite what the liberals told them, the bombs don't go off anymore. Well, let me tell you something. When that wall goes up with Mexico, you're going to see a big change in the United States of America. You'll see changes you could never believe. If that wall is starting, if Trump wins, you're going to see a huge emigration out of America, by the way, on its own. On its own volition, there'll be a monstrous emigration out of this country. Because the people are going to know what's coming, and they're going to say, you know what, I better get out while I can. I don't want any trouble, and they're going to start going home. They'll repatriate themselves. A large repatriation will occur spontaneously, incidentally. There will also be a curtailment of the flow of drugs into the United States of America. Do you have to be a genius to understand that? What do you think is going to happen if there's a wall that is policed by the Border Patrol? Do you think we're going to have what we have now with the drug epidemic? It's going to dry up on its own to a great extent. Not overnight. That'll only end when they arrest the pharmaceutical manufacturers of OxyContin and they get serious with prosecuting the crime of drug dealing. But that's a separate story. I don't even know where Donald Trump stands on that. I want to come back to the show today of Actions to Save America, the victory lap. And I want to talk about so many different things all at once. It's hard for me to keep up with it. I want to get to the sound that the guys put together for you today on the show. But I want to start with the calls, because the other day I did a no-call show. Yesterday we had some decent calls. So we're opening it up right now at 855-400-7282. Let's go to Sophie on WABC in New York. Sophie, make your point. Go ahead, please.
Thank you. I totally agree with the parallels that you're making between yourself and Donald Trump. I want to make the point that it's more than just an idea, two ideas coming together. This is more than synchronistic. It's a manifestation of the movement of the new American spirit that you're talking about. I think Donald Trump is exactly the person who's going to bring that. I want to point out how his wife came here in 1996 as an immigrant legally, a cultured woman speaking multiple languages. If you told her in 1996 that she was going to be first lady in 20 years, you know, you can finish the sentence.
Well, she is the American dream. It's interesting, though. We have a first lady right now who was born here who hated America until she found out she'd get a lot of stuff when she became first lady. Then she decided she loved America. Compare her with a foreigner, so to speak, who loved America before she got here. What an interesting comparison that is, don't you think?
Exactly. She is the American dream made real. Made real. This movement is what the movement that is occurring now is the American dream again. And you said,
can you imagine if she, Melania, becomes first lady? She'll be the Jackie Kennedy of our time. Do you know that?
Absolutely.
How come no one said that yet? Because I've said it. I said it yesterday. She'll be the new Jackie Kennedy. Cultured, multiple languages, beautiful, gracious, elegant. America will be seen again for what it always has been, until it was tarnished and trashed by American haters, and I don't even have to name them. All right, so let me ask you this, Sophie. You're totally into this Donald Trump phenomenon. Do you agree with me that middle-aged women do not trust Hillary Clinton and won't vote for her, even if they're Democrats?
You're absolutely right. I would never vote for her. She will not get elected. I'm going to put my stamp on that.
No, but I'm saying, I don't know, are you a Republican or a Democrat, you yourself?
You know, the 60s Democrat turned Republican.
Oh, I don't remember. Okay, you are an ex-hippie 60s Democrat, anti-war movement girl. So, do you know other women from your generation who see the world the same way as you do?
Not too many. I think those who were more politically aware, as I had become, can see through somebody like Hillary Clinton. She's a liar and a thief. the other women who are just part of the old establishment will not leave because they just don't have any comfort zone. That's her. She's their comfort
zone. Did you watch Hillary Clinton stirring up race hatred last night at the so-called town hall? Were you as appalled as I was?
I cannot look at that woman for more than a few minutes because they do get a.
She was as close to becoming Winnie Mandela in our generation as I've ever seen. All she needed was a bunch of black tires. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCO. It's a very, very interesting time in American history, as we all know. We all sense it, even if we can't define exactly what it is we're feeling. We know that there is a turning point right now after 8 years of what we've had. I don't have to further define what I've written in three books. We have a chance to go in the other direction. And so far in the other direction that America will be great again. It's that simple. Because America is not great right now. We're a laughing stock on the world stage. On a military level, It's a tragedy to see sailors crying after being captured without firing a shot. It's unbelievable that a president would reduce the morale in the military to this level. That he would talk about freeing some of the worst terrorists on the planet and giving them never a serious threat. We know that he was handpicked by the Democrat machine to make Hillary Clinton look centrist. And we heard some of the things that were said last night by Hillary Clinton, which tells us that if she, God forbid, wins, it will be like South Africa in America right now. America will become like South Africa. She's basing all of it upon a demagoguery unlike anything I've ever seen in my life. Class warfare, race warfare, stirring up one race against the other. There she is. And if you think the military has been feminized and weakened, you're right, but it'll be much worse under her. She wants to bring terrorists to the U.S. So, I mean, what choice do we really have? It's not between, let's say Donald Trump is the candidate of choice. One of the others could win, I doubt it, but it looks like he's unstoppable. And I hope he makes up with Cruz and Rubio and incorporates them in some way in the new administration. What's the choice between Trump and Hillary? You're telling me as a conservative you're going to vote for Hillary because he's not pure enough? Is that what you're saying? You're that stupid?
We won the evangelicals. We won with young. We won with old. We won with highly educated. We won with poorly educated. I love the poorly educated. We're the smartest people. We're the most loyal people. And you know what I really am happy about? Because I've been saying it for a long time. 46% with the Hispanics. 46%. Number one with Hispanics.
And Donald, you're right. And who was the first one in the media to say that you would draw a large number of Hispanics? Me, Michael Savage. I didn't have to read it somewhere and then repeat it like I invented it. I was the first to say it because I have common sense. I also have my ear to the ground. I also walk around and I talk around. I look around and I see the industriousness of the Hispanic workers. Who would they vote for? An old woman who wants to destroy the government and turn us into a socialist welfare state and promise them things for nothing when they'd rather make it on their own because they come from a culture of pride? Pride. Pride. A word you haven't heard about for a long time. Maybe I'll talk about pride for a few minutes. Donald Trump represents American pride. Do you understand that? And that appeals to an awful lot of people of all races, of all sexes or genders, however you want to put it, of all economic backgrounds. They want their pride restored. They don't want to walk around defeated. They don't want to look like Englishmen who are becoming strangers in their own country. Have you been to London? I haven't. I'm not allowed to go there. But an individual I know came from London recently. He lives there. And he said everyone walks around with their head down. They're ashamed. They're afraid to be English in their own country. That's what Hillary wants for you in America. She wants you to be ashamed if you're white. She talks about white privilege as though she herself is not of the most privileged class in America. Can you imagine anything like this? Getting away with that? But anyway, these are some of the reasons that Donald Trump is so popular. And as I say, I watched her last night during the so-called town hall. I expect anything from politicians. On one hand, I expect nothing. On the other hand, I expect anything from them. What she did last night hit a new low. It was like Winnie Mandela in South Africa preaching race hatred, throwing Coleman lighter fluid on a fire. Instead of tamping it down, she was trying to make the fire grow. She wanted a conflagration. It's as though she was a demon. Anything for another vote. So if you want to talk right now is the time. Let's go to the callers, 855-407-282. I have to read you something on the national debt that my friend Craig Smith of Swiss America sent me because he's an expert on money. In 2009, he said the national debt was $10.6 trillion. It's probably hard for us to follow. We'll make it easy. It was $10 trillion. Today, the national debt is $19 trillion. Rounding off, Obama has increased debt in 7 years by $8.5 trillion. These are numbers directly off the national debt clock. Under Bush, January 01, $5.7 trillion. When he left, it was $10.6 trillion. First, Bush ran up the debt, $4.9 trillion. Oh, no, Bush, too, ran up the debt, $4.9 trillion. That was a man I called a fiscal socialist. Obama ran up the debt, $8.5 trillion. Can you believe this? He ran up the debt like this. I don't know what Donald Trump will do about the debt. I have no idea that he'd ever discuss it. That I don't know. I'd like to hear what he has to say on that when the time comes down to it. Let's go to the callers, WSBA Radio in Pennsylvania. Corey, welcome to the Savage Nation. It's a great day for us, believe me. What do you have to say today?
I just want to know if you can dispel some of my concerns about a general election with Trump. I just feel like the Dems are stacking ammo against him, and they're just waiting until he gets the nomination to unload it. You know, they'll say, you know, one day he believes this, 2 years ago he believes that. You know, if you call him more, he just lashes out.
No, of course they're going to say he's a Pollyanna. That's a given because his enemies in the Republican Party have already said that. So there's nothing new about that. But his charisma and his pride and his energy and his force will override any of those concerns. That's my opinion. I mean, unless they're saving some huge scandal we know nothing about, which I doubt, because I think they would have used it by now, don't you?
Yeah, I would think they would have, unless they're saving it for the nomination. That's the only thing I hear about.
Well, what can they say that we haven't heard or read? That he went bankrupt and he used lawyers? So what? I mean, we all know that.
Okay.
We all know that. But if you look around the landscape of America and the world, his name is on an awful lot of structures that he built. That's pretty self-evident that he's done things. He's actually created something. What in the world has Hillary Clinton given anybody? She's never had a job. She's been a government worker her whole life. One way or the other. She's been in government. She's an insider. How could she pretend she's an outsider? Where is her appeal?
Yep.
What, because if she's not a man, that makes her appealing? All right, that covers that one. WMAL, Washington, D.C. James, go ahead, please. You're next up.
I am a first-generation immigrant in the tank for Trump. I love Trump. I'm joyous that he won the Hispanic votes yesterday, proving the pundits on TV wrong, that immigrants, for some reason, don't like Trump. Dr. Savage, most immigrants, all right, understand Trump and like him privately. We don't say it out loud because of fear of being ridiculed by...
Of course, right. You'd be ashamed to say it to your friends and neighbors because they'd say, you're for him? You become one of them? So you'd never say it. But you see, the beauty of America is we have private ballots, secret ballots. You can vote quietly. No one knows what you did. That's why the unions are working right now to have ballots turned back to the 1900s again, where there were no secret ballots, where they would know who voted on what, so the people were afraid of the union bosses.
Yes. One thing I want most Americans to understand is this. We immigrants, we migrate here for one reason, for the greatness of the United States of America.
Oh.
We understand that. And Donald Trump is bringing it back. Because
where did you what country of origin do you come from?
I come from Ghana.
You're an African, but most Africans who come here are very different than what people may think. There's a lot of misconceptions about Africans, by the way, in America. I'm talking about Africans, highly educated, highly motivated. That's what I've seen.
Yes. And growing up, there was one thing that motivated us. Of course, I grew up in Haiti, so, yes, Ronald Reagan was all over, you know, West Africa. We liked him and all of that. And there was one thing that drew us here, made in America product. And now, when we go back...
Can I ask you, what is your native language? What is the language you grew up speaking?
I grew up speaking three different languages, Kobo, Tree, and Ga.
And these are African dialects?
Yes, they are all African dialects.
I want the listener to understand how complicated what I'm asking this man really is. He grew up speaking three African dialects. He's on a talk radio show in the greatest country on the world, free to speak his mind in our native language, and he's doing it more eloquently than most politicians can do it. Think about that. I want to thank you, sir. I'm sending you a copy of Government Zero because I know that you can read it. And you can get a lot out of it. If you like Trump, you'll love Government Zero. I want to throw a question out there. So, Jim, leave a few open lines for this because I've been meaning to do this. and I haven't done it yet. I said in the beginning of the show that today is a victory day, a victory lap, because the Savage Nation ideas are now kind of become currency, common currency. Okay, that's a given. Borders, language, culture. One way or the other, it's a truth. I mean, you'll have the detractors saying it's not true. It doesn't matter what the detractors say. You always have them. The cyber bullies will always be there. I also said something in the beginning. I said Donald Trump grew up on the other side of the tracks in the same neighborhood I grew up in. And I said he has all his buildings to show for his life. And sometimes I get down on myself and I say, wait a minute. You've had 28 books published. You have several unpublished. And there are those who try to knock you for having been so prolific. That's how bad it's become. In other words, being prolific is now something wrong. But I'm quite prolific because it's what I do. And I said my books are my buildings. Those are my buildings. Imagine creating a mock-up of Manhattan and standing my books up on this silhouette of Manhattan. Those would be my high-rises, okay? Hopefully some of them will live a long time. I also hinted at something else. I said I believe, and I don't know whether it's related to Trump or not, I believe that fate has a bigger something in store for me than where I am in life right now. It's hard to say. I am not ready to walk off into the sunset. I am not ready to retire. I'm not ready to disappear. I'm not ready to just disappear from the airwaves. I'm not ready to disappear from the world of the written word. And I keep feeling intuitively that there's something bigger waiting for me, and I don't know what it is. So I will bring this question to my loyal listeners now, because I know many of you listen every day. And you've heard me through thick and through thin. And as I said earlier, through the darkest of times, through winters and summers and falls and springs, I have been espousing Borders, language, and culture. Sometimes I felt as though no one was listening. I felt as though I was wandering in a virtual desert. I felt like Moses wandering in the desert. The message had been lost. It had been forgotten. It's as though I was pulling up dry wells. No matter what I did, it was just a dry well. Now we hear the message suddenly resonating from the highest places on the campaign trail. And the message of Borders and language and culture, basically, that message is drowning out the hatred and the disharmony of the socialist Islamist left. We see that even immigrants are admitting to themselves that they're coming here for the American dream. And the American dream is not socialism. The American dream is not a government handout. The American dream is making a life for themselves on their own. They want to express themselves and be proud of what they did. That's the American dream that Donald Trump represents, in my opinion. So getting back again to what I said, that I feel fate has something larger in store for me, I will ask a question of my audience. If the day should come, and I don't know that it will, I don't even know if Donald will ever be on my show again, by the way. I'll tell you, I don't know. I'll still support him. I'll still support him. It could be that his advisors have said, don't go on the Savage Nation. You don't need him anymore. I don't know what's going on. I don't talk to them every day. I've seen it before, and it could happen again. I don't know who's advising him, but I have a strange feeling that his advisors are like those of Romney. When I see that he's using people who tried in politics and failed, I say, oh, no, this is not good. So maybe he'll be on again. Maybe he won't. I'll still support him because his ideas are my ideas. I mean, we agree. Let's put it that way. Let's say the day comes that he is the nominee and the day comes that there's a general election and he wins. And I get a call from someone. He says, Donald Trump would like to meet with you. He'd like to know what you would like to do in the new government. I'd say that day came. I told you I'm not a bureaucrat. I couldn't do the job. I couldn't do it. If he made me the head of the biggest department in the country, I'd have to say no because I know I would fail at it. I just wouldn't do it. And I couldn't do it. So where does that leave me? If I'm not a bureaucrat, all I could do is be an advisor, correct? So which area of the government or which areas of the government do you think I, Michael Savage, would be best as an advisor to Donald Trump should that opportunity arise? I'll be back in a minute to take your calls right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCO.
They're doing everything they can to stop black people, Latinos, poor people, young people, people with disabilities from voting. It's a blast from the Jim Crow past. I thought we had won that battle back in the 1960s. To see it rear its ugly head is such.
Hillary Clinton should be arrested for fanning the flames of class and hatred like this. I have never heard anything like this. She's a step away from Winnie Mandela with the burning tires around people's necks. Unbelievable how anyone could vote for this person. So now, the Daily News, which hates Donald Trump, has an editorial by Sean King, a writer, who says, King, here's why Donald Trump could become the next U.S. president. And he goes down the list, and he's well on his way to the 1,237 delegates. He needs to be the GOP nominee, blah, blah, blah. And he said, for months on end, the polling expert, Nate Silver, whoever he is, I think his father served corned beef at Katz's. He'd be lucky if he winds up serving French fries after this. Over and over again, this Nate Silver, the great Democrat pollster, said Trump would plummet in the polls, be overtaken by an establishment candidate. Nate, it's still not too late to get yourself a date with a real job, Nate. So he's saying Super Tuesday's coming up in only a few days, where voters in 13 different states will cast their ballots less than 6 days away. Rubio, Cruz, Kasich, and Carson will continue to fight on and split votes among each other. And it says polls and Las Vegas odds have Trump winning as many as 11 out of 13 of those states, with Cruz winning 2 and Rubio none. So in 6 days, he says, barring something catastrophic or earth-shattering in the Republican Party, Trump could already be the winner of 14 of the first 17 primaries and caucuses. So with that considered, we must accept that for the past 7 months, nearly every expert in the country said the situation we're now in would never and could never happen. Sean, you're wrong. I'm an expert in the country, more so than any of the experts that you rely upon. Michael Savage has been on the air for 21 years with the same exact message that Donald Trump is putting out. And the very same mud that is being slung at Donald Trump was thrown at me every step of the way. Every vile thing that you could think of was said about me. I've been attacked every which way, and it didn't stop me. I didn't let a single impediment stand in my way, nor does Donald Trump. So you look at the Daily News, I don't know, the hatred. One cover after another, Lord of the Pigs, Confederacy of Dunces, Antichrist. They hate Donald Trump. And what good does it do, all their hatred? It's not working. They ought to save some of their hatred for Hillary Clinton's vile race warfare. That's what they should talk about. The fake poverty of Hillary Clinton. The fake humility of Hillary Clinton. The false Christianity of Hillary Clinton. Those would be headlines worthy of a tabloid newspaper. But I noticed that you don't see any of that. All the brave men on CNN, they were dumbfounded last night. Sheridan Cooper, whatever his name is, Sherry Cooper, I don't know his name, Anderson, well, he looked like a lost sheep walking around. He was wandering around with a lavalier microphone. He didn't know which way to look. He didn't know what to say. He had no idea. They were dumbfounded. They are dumbstruck by what's going on. Because they don't know what's going on, because they're out of touch with reality, as are the mainstream Republican and Democrat advisors and candidates. It's we, the people, who are being heard, the people who have been silenced. Agnew called them the silent majority. I have another name for you. I'll be back to tell you what it is.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Trump wins, Savage Nation rules. So where do we go from here? Where do we go from here? As I said, it's a very clear choice, and it's pretty clear to me why Trump is triumphing across America. Across all education levels. I don't mean you, of course, the cynic. You know better than everyone. Across races, age groups. And I said that I'd have a new phrase for you, which I thought of just now through inspiration. I went out for some air during the break, and I said, Agnew called this phenomenon the arising of the silent majority. Remember that? The silent majority? And I said now this is the reemergent majority. Never forget we still are the majority in this country. Well, what do you mean we? Who's we? That sounds exclusionary. I'll let you figure it out. We are still the majority in this country, but most of us haven't been excited by a candidate in many years. Now, having said that, I know many of you are not excited by Trump at all. You don't like him. You've been told he's no good, he's this, he's a phony, he's a that, the liberal. But eventually you're going to come around to realizing it's either him or Winnie Mandela with the QVC jewelry. It's one or the other. You want either Winnie Mandela with the QVC jewelry or you want somebody who just might make America great again, and just might bring us together again by knocking a few heads together again. I guarantee a few things. If Trump becomes president, you're not going to see the ilk like Al Sharpton going in and out of the White House. He might go into the big house, but not the White House. You're never going to see people of that low nature allowed into the White House to soil it. Never. I can guarantee you're not going to see the level of, you know, I have words for it that I can't use right now because I'll be misunderstood. The depression that I experience when I see how this president behaves, both on and off the political stage, sickens me. I don't think we're going to see Donald Trump on a golf course while they're laying a Supreme Court justice to rest, do you? I don't think so. Oh, he may be loud and boisterous, and he may be bumptious and arrogant and all of this other stuff. But you know what? What you see is what you get. It's that simple. There's going to be no surprises. What you see is what you get, as opposed to the character in the White House now who may believe he was Mr. Nice Guy. And look what we have here, this despot. So I asked you a couple of questions in the last hour, and many of you are calling on it. It's a very straightforward show today. I'm very happy today because it's a victory lap for myself and for this program and for you, the audience. Remember, if you've listened to this show for any number of years, and many of you have, that's a loyal audience. It's a long, long haul. It's a very personal relationship, talk radio. It's not like television. It is an extremely personal relationship, talk radio. We're together, family, so to speak. That's why I called the show The Savage Nation 22 years ago this March. And the theme of borders, language, and culture resonated with you. That's the main point. That's why you're hooked on the show. Maybe you don't like some of the things I say or some of the things I do. It doesn't matter. It's like family. You get used to it. You put up with it. Because fundamentally, you're unified with me on a message. That's really what it comes down to. If there was no unification through my message, you really wouldn't be here, and there would be no audience, and the show wouldn't have... It wouldn't be alive. It just wouldn't be here. So we're connected. It's like I said, like family. You don't like everyone in your family and everything that they do, but you're family, and you'd do anything for them, wouldn't you, if it comes down to it. That's what family is. That's what the Savage Nation is. And I feel that today we've been vindicated. Of all the days I've been in radio. Now, he's not president yet. He didn't even win the primaries. I get it. I know I'm getting ahead of myself, but that's how I am. That's the kind of guy I am. You know, God sees the truth but waits. I see the truth and I don't wait. The phone number is 855-407-282. Frank on WABC, go ahead, please. What's your topic?
Michael, with your great insight into human nature and the human spirit, I can think of no one better than to try to build bridges between religions and races in this country for Donald Trump. I think you have the insight to carry that off. And what's taken the FBI so long to ask for an indictment of Hillary? They got enough to indict her five times. Thank you, Michael.
Well, thanks, Frank. You know, he said something I have to think about. He says that if I were asked to do it, I could advise the Trump presidency, if it became that, on how to unite religions. I never thought about that, and I can't even respond to it intelligently. I'd have to think about it. It's a very interesting proposition. I don't even know that there's such a... Is there such a position, or is there such an office? I don't even know what that is. I mean, you know, what is that? How do you do that? Just give speeches on love and kindness? I think it transcends all religions, by the way, except for one. It seems to me there's a common theme in all religions, except for one. All religions teach the same thing, which is, you know, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. One religion teaches do the other, and do them as fast as you can. But the fact of the matter is, all religions say the same thing. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That summarizes most religions. Now, forget the practices and the this and the that and the wafers and the cats and the capels and the capillaries and the caps and the gowns and the this and the that and the crosses and the smoke and the stars and the moon and the this and the that. If a religion is a good religion and it has a positive influence upon the people who attend their houses of worship or read the literature, it teaches love at the end of the day and kindness. What do you think it teaches? And it, by and large, all religions do that. That would be my beginning. Simplicity, patience, compassion. Simplicity, patience, compassion. Of course, you could get into the introduction of higher dimensions of consciousness into the awareness of people, but I'm not a guru. Many years, people said to me, you know, Savage, you're very captivating. How come you were never one of those guys in the 70s that set up like an est? You could have done that. You have a booming voice. You're extremely charismatic. You can move audiences. You were given the gift. How come you didn't become one of those guys with like a big foundation or a big ashram? The answer is because I don't want it. Because I embrace simplicity at the end of the day. In that regard, I do follow the rules that were laid down, or the edicts were laid down by Lao Tzu, the ancient Chinese philosopher. I like simplicity. I remember through my lean years, permit me now in my third hour, I go into a different state of mind, a different form. There were many lean years of my life, for various reasons, not to complain, just people go through rich and up and downs in their lives. There were lean years, and it's not like I always had the faith that I'd come through it. I knew that I had to fight and stay alive and keep going for the children. That's all I knew. For myself, I didn't care at certain points. I was ready to give up. I was ready to give up. I couldn't take it anymore. But I would look at the children sleeping in bed. I said, I got to do it for them. I can't do it. I can't fail for them. I cannot let them have a loser father, no matter what. I can't do it to them. And then I learned to read a lot of philosophy late at night. I couldn't sleep. I was worried about making money. I didn't know if I could pay the mortgage. I mean, it was horrible. Things that just never should have happened to me. Because I was man-child in the promised land, an immigrant son. I did everything right. And the communists in the country said white men need not apply. The ACLU had the nerve to say, some people will just have to put their futures on hold so others may advance. Well, I was one of those who had to put his future on hold so others may advance. So I stayed up a lot of nights. I couldn't sleep. And I remember reading a self-help book in the 70s, it was. And it said, no one ever died from a lack of sleep. They died from worrying about not sleeping. That was the first light bulb that went off in my head about not worrying about not sleeping. And then another self-help book said to me, there are so many things you could do in 2 minutes. And this fellow wrote down in a self-help book, things you could do in 2 minutes or 3 minutes. At the time, he said, you could write a letter to a friend. Think of what you could do in 3 minutes with emails now, right? You can walk around the block. You can gaze at the stars. You can look at the... Well, I got out a star chart. I used to love astronomy as a young kid. I learned many of the constellations all over again. I would sit on my deck at 3 a.m. and look at the stars. And I would look at the constellations and I would learn the names of the stars. So what, am I going crazy? No, I mean, it retunes you back into things through simplicity. And then I was reading philosophy, Chinese philosophy in translation. And one of the things I read was, because I was kind of poor hanging on there. And I read things like, eating late is better than eating meat. This was the poetry or the philosophy of impoverished scholars in ancient China. They write things like that. I was so delighted by it. Eating late is better than eating meat. Things like that, Robert. Does that still resonate? Does that have any meaning? You know what I'm saying. Meaning having leisure and time was what it was all about. And I'm still the same person. And now I'm tied to a clock. You know, I eat during a show sometimes, like every day. Because it's just the way it is. And during the break, I'm like scarfing down food and I'm saying to the guys, how much time? How much time? How much time? 3 minutes. And I'm just knocking, gobbling. And so just a few minutes ago, I said to my assistant, I said, Brian, you know, one day I'm going to wake up and I'll be able to finish a meal without saying, how much time? How much time? How much time do I have? I'll actually be able to sit and eat a meal. And boy, will I be bored. Boy, will I be bored, because just eating a meal is not my goal in life. So what I'm saying is, simplicity, emptiness is beautiful, patience, most important thing on earth, patience. And I lack patience. Oh, do I lack patience. But it's one of the greatest treasures to cultivate. Another one that's lost in America today is compassion.
I still have it. I don't know that I have it most of the time. I sometimes think I've lost my humanity, but I don't. And I know it's simply by how I react to people in my life when they need me. I may be pretty gruff to people who are tough and don't need me. You know, bristles and porcupiney. But when I have a friend in need, I know what I do, and I know where it comes from. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just, you know, reflecting today. That's all. I'm not trying to prove anything. Knowing others is wisdom. Knowing yourself is enlightenment, Lao Tzu. He who knows that enough is enough will always have enough. The wicked leader is he who the people despise. The good leader is he who the people revere. The great leader is he the people say, we did it ourselves. How's that one for Lao Tzu in ancient Chinese philosophy? I'll read it again. The wicked leader is he who the people despise. Hello, Barry. The good leader is he who the people revere. When have we had one of those? Dwight D. Eisenhower? Like 50 years ago? The great leader is he who the people say, we did it ourselves. We're waiting for that leader. Back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-CO. National consciousness through the victories of Donald Trump. Just play it. That's from Patton, isn't it? 21 years, almost 22. My message has been the same. Consistent. Borders, Language, Culture. Last three books, if you've read them. Borders, Language, Culture. My solutions for saving America. Many of these bullet points have been and are being used by the Trump campaign. To the credit of Donald Trump, by the way. I'm sure some of them arose spontaneously because he's a man of common sense, as am I. But I will take credit for being the first in the media to back himself vociferously because his ideas were similar to mine. That was the only reason. I certainly wouldn't take credit for getting out the vote because I didn't. I did not electioneer for Donald Trump. But I am sort of the architect of Trump's messaging. No one can refute that. Everyone understands the realities of what Trump is doing and why he is popular. They understand what his message is. Never mind what the enemies of Trump are saying. They said the same thing about me and they still do. So today I'm all over the place in one way and really focused in another. And before I was reading some philosophy from Lao Tzu and telling you that I was a big philosophy reader when I was in a certain stage of my life, but I remember certain things, and I read a lot of Plato. You know, Plato wrote Plato's Republic. That's where I got the idea for the Savage Nation. Did you know that? But many people don't know that. How'd you come up with the Savage Nation? Because I was a reader of Plato's Republic, and I changed Republic to Nation. So this is the Savage Nation you're listening to. We are the reemergent majority in this country. We've been silenced, beaten, reviled, spit upon by Hillary Clinton, called racist, called sexist, called every name under the sun, but we're not. We are the Americans that they hate and fear. Plato wrote, dictatorship naturally arises out of democracy, and the most aggregated form of tyranny and slavery out of the most extreme liberty. Plato also wrote, we can easily forgive a child who is afraid of the dark. The real tragedy of life is when men are afraid of the light. That's what this show is about. This show is not about darkness, it's about light. Then the real tragedy of America right now is that we have prophets of doom, prophets of hatred like Hillary Clinton, Bernie Sanders, and then we have prophets of lightness, and shall I say the word success? That's what Trump is selling. He's selling lightness and success. I realize he's not pure enough for those who read textbooks on purity. But that's what he's selling. He's selling basically the idea that we can succeed as people and succeed as a nation. That's the whole thing. Now, I don't know about the faith issue. I know that I watch fights and I watch warfare and I've watched fights and warfare and read about it all my life. And I know that those who are armed with faith are the stronger warriors. I've seen it in the boxing ring. I've seen it all over the sports arena. I'm always so moved when I see an athlete, especially when I see a black athlete get down on his knees and pray to Jesus before a game or after a victory of some sort or another, and all of the PC minds go crazy. Like, did he do that? Did he pray? Did he cross himself? How dare he? Because they're armed with faith. You understand what I'm saying to you? I know Trump's not that kind of guy. He's not a Bible pounder. He's not going to be one of those with the Bible and the cross. And maybe that's fine because that's up to us anyway. But it's clear to me that events are changing all of us in this country right now. You know, that's what's happening right now. So if you want to call the show, the phone number is 855-400-7282. Let's go to the callers on the Savage Nation. Oh, God, there's so many good callers. I don't know which one to take in 30 seconds. KSFO, San Francisco, Debbie, topic and statement, fire away.
Michael, you would be absolutely perfect in science. Science, the academia papers that come out, the journals are rigged. There are so many brilliant scientists out there that never get a chance.
Absolutely. They are the equivalent of the outcasts because they're not tied into the system. There's a lot of young and old scientists who can't even get papers published, let alone get a teaching position. That would all change if I were to advise the NSF or the NIH. Believe me, I would make certain that there's science again and real medical research in this country. Stay on the line. I want to ask you something. Savage Nation, at least we're on the road to happiness. Plato wrote, one of the penalties for refusing to participate in politics is that you end up being governed by your inferiors. Does that ring a bell? I'll read it again. Ancient Greek philosopher Plato, one of the penalties for refusing to participate in politics is that you end up being governed by your inferiors. Does that ever tell you what we're going through right now? Can anyone listening to this show say that we're ruled by our superiors? Can anyone listening to this show really say Obama's a superior human being? I don't have to go down that road, do you? Do I? I don't know. So we're listening to a different song. Listening to a different song. We're hungering with thirsting for a different leadership, a different government. We're thirsting for it. We're craving it. And there's an awful lot of us, from the silent majority to the reemergent majority. Independents are crossing over. They're not going to vote for her, the woman who specializes in turning race against race, poor against rich. They don't like her. She's like an imbalanced animal. She's like an imbalanced creature. And she can only foster more imbalance in the society. We feel it. We can sense her imbalance. She's like someone who has come up from the world below. Sort of like a vessel full of injustice. And who wants to bring all of the evils of the world to the surface in order to thrive as a demagogue. Maybe I'm speaking in too flowery a language. But I listened to that woman last night for a while until I almost wanted to break the television. She was like a Winnie Mandela, a step away from the burning tires, the necklacing. I don't even know if I should play it. She's thriving on pure hatred, right? She's running on pure hatred. Trump's not running on hatred. Think of his motto. Make America great again. I don't see any hatred in that to you, unless you hate America. I guess that's hateful. Make America great again is a bad thing to say. And listen to her. Listen to clip 08. Robert, please play 08 of Hillary Clinton.
I see so much anger and fear and bitterness. Some of it's being played out in our political system right now. The kind of language that's being used, violent images, threats against people. It is deeply troubling to me because we have to try to unite our country, not divide it, if we're going to deal with a lot of
challenges. All right, sure. You're Miss Purity. You're going to unite us while speaking about you were asked by blacks in the audience last night. You talked about white privilege. Then you talked about how blacks can't get ahead in America when we have a black president and a black attorney general and so many black people in so many high positions. You know, don't talk to me about bringing people together, Mrs. Clinton. You're like a creature from the world below, bringing up nothing but evil. Bringing imbalance to the society when we want an educated and disciplined America again. We don't want the garbage in the streets anymore. The human garbage and the physical garbage. We're sick of it. We'd like to have an orderly and beautiful America again. We don't want the squeegee men and the bums and the rapists and the muggers and the knifers in New York City. We don't want those defecating in the streets of San Francisco to get away with it. We want them clobbered over the head by a cop and thrown into a deep holding cell. We are sick of being run over by the bums and the lowlifes in this country. Make no mistake about it. That's what we want, a beautiful, educated, disciplined America.
We don't want the filth that the Democrat socialists seem to specialize in and promote. Of course there's anger in America. Of course there's anger in America. How much of this filth can we take? The sewer pipe of Hollywood. Instead of talking about the excesses of Wall Street, Mrs. Clinton, who you live off, the Clinton Foundation is not exactly a charity that gives away much money, is it now, Mrs. Clinton? Why don't you talk about the sewer pipe of Hollywood? Why don't you talk about the sewer pipe of Hollywood that supports Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton to the nth degree? Tell us about that sewer pipe instead of talking about the reality TV star and how angry he is. He reflects the anger of America, my friends. Make no mistake about it. And all of us know that things can be better. And we all know it in ourselves that if we only had a leader, we could help make it better. We don't need laws to tell us how to act well. It's only the bad people who need laws because they're going to find a way around them. Good people basically are good. They do the right thing. It's the bad people who read the laws and study the laws to find a way around them. That's why Barack Obama, in my opinion, became a constitutional lawyer to see how he can get around the Constitution. Now, remember what I said at the beginning of this little soliloquy. Plato wrote it best when he said one of the penalties for refusing to participate in politics is that you end up being governed by your inferiors. Now, I'm not in politics, but I really am in politics. We are what's known as, what is it, in England they were calling them ministers without portfolio. We in talk radio who have lasted so long and thrived are ministers without portfolio. We have a large following and we influence the dialogue. We influence the nature of our society. Now, for many years, we've had no influence at all, those of us on this side of the aisle. None. It's as though we lost everything. It was a depressing time. For the first time in so many years, we have hope again. I couldn't even count the years that I have felt that all of my years were a waste. I was walking around feeling that all the books, all the years, I said, what good did it do when you wind up with a scoundrel like this in the White House who gets away with anything he wants to get away with, absolute naked tyranny coming out of the White House with almost no opposition. And we started to feel that there was no hope. And then we took a look at this, you know, the lineup of candidates with very few exceptions. There was not much hope there. The RNC dodos who were going to do the same thing all over again. The same thing that Boehner did to us, McConnell is doing to us. We didn't want it again, and we started to give up. And all of a sudden, there comes this brash man. This brash, in-your-face man. Build a wall, he says. Stop them from coming in and doing to this country what they're doing. So right away, they make him into what he isn't. I've heard it all before. You say one word. You raise your voice, and you say one word against the excesses of the open border, and right away they pin a label on you that's completely false because they want that open border. And he didn't keep, went on, doubled down, tripled down, quadrupled down, kept going. And the longer he hammered the border and the wall, the larger his brand became, bigger his brand became, because that's what the American people want more than anything. I don't care if they're Democrats or Republicans. People want a secure border, and they want it yesterday. They want the Border Patrol to be rearmed and reinvigorated, and they want the flow going south, not north, in plain English. If you were to make this whole campaign about one thing, it would be about the borders. Do you know that? If you were to take everything else off the table, sweep it all aside, you know what the whole campaign of Trump is about? Immigration. The border, border, border. He also didn't say kick Muslims out of America. That's a lie. That's the big lie put out by the Democrat, socialist, Islamist machine. He never said that. What he says was, I would stop the immigration of Muslims into this country until we can figure this thing out. Now, what is wrong with that? When we know from the European experience that many of those who are coming in as, quote, refugees are actually terrorists in hiding. They threw away their uniforms and their guns, and they came in on the boatload. And amongst the boatloads of refugees coming in from Syria, there are murderous Islamists who are, in case you don't know it, raping and killing inside the refugee camps. They're beating up Christians. They're raping women. You don't know that, do you? You don't want to hear any of that. You want to put your head in the sand, but you ought to take your eyes out of the dirt and look at the light. because that's what's going to happen here if Barry gets away with flooding us with Syrian refugees, most of whom are military-aged men of the Muslim faith. That's what he was talking about. Very specifically, that's what he was addressing at the time that he said ban immigration by Muslims. Now, of course, it was completely distorted by the enemies of the truth for obvious reasons. And I don't have to go down the road of why. So this is a very big day. Yes, it's three victories in a row. It's not the end of the road. There's a long primary. But Super Tuesday's coming. It looks like he's going to win that one. And then it's going to be a big, big, long road to the general election. It'll be Trump versus whoever, probably her unless they indict her. And I don't see how that shouldn't happen. She must own the government. She must own justice, sure. She must own that's FBI, so she owns that part of the Democrat machine. So if we had a fair, independent FBI, there's no question she would have been indicted by now for what she's done with the email scandals, and she probably would have stepped down. I mean, Petraeus did 1/1,000th of what she's done, and look what they did to that great man. Speaking of which, by the way, he should be the running mate for Donald Trump. I was thinking about who the VP candidate should be. It should be a general of some kind. High general. Someone we know. Petraeus is a highly educated, highly disciplined, highly brave, very well, many medals. You look up his history as a warrior, you'll know why they went after him. You'll see exactly why Obama destroyed him. Look very carefully into why they went after Petraeus. What he did was illegal, for sure, but that's not the reason they brought him down, as did Obama, the dictator, bring down so many other generals and admirals, because he did not want anyone opposing him inside the military, because he knew what he was going to do. We're now at the sad state of him telling us that we need transsexuals in the military in order to make it diverse. Can you believe a thing like this? So it was one step at a time by the evil, devious, radical, hateful left. One step at a time, carefully planned. The villains that they are. The villains that they are. They took down any opposition. Strategically removed every general and every admiral who could have blown the whistle on Benghazi. They got rid of them. I wrote about it in two books ago. I named them. Some of you read it, some of you didn't. They actually have names. Does the name General Ham ring a bell to you? African-American four or five-star general with 29 years of service thrown out of the military by Barry Obama right after Benghazi. I think you can figure out why. How come you didn't read about that in the newspaper? How come you didn't hear about it from Anderson Cooper or the others, the brave boys in the media? Why don't you see pictures of the African-American general whose lives were destroyed by Barry Obama for political reasons? He conducted a coup, for God's sakes. You never heard of General Ham, did you? Well, you heard about him now. Go look him up. Find out why he was fired. No reason. Find out why so many fine admirals were thrown out of the military, replaced by idiots who can't even drive a motorboat with a single engine on it. Take a look at who Obama's put in charge of the Air Force and the Navy. It's laughable, if it wasn't so sad. And we all pray to God that Trump wins, and all of these great men who were thrown out will be brought back in and be given huge bonuses to re-sign. And all of the frauds will be thrown out of the military overnight. Just throw them out. Get rid of them. All of those advanced by Barry and the illegitimate left, throw them out of the military. Get rid of them. Get rid of the Politburo. You know, during the height of the Soviet era, do you know that on every warship there was a political officer, a KGB officer, even if it was a submarine deep below the seas? Do you know that they had a political officer on the submarine whose job was to go around snooping on all of the sailors to listen if they were politically correct enough, to see if the sailors were saying anything against the government? And we now have the same thing under Barry Obama. He has put the equivalent of KGB spies in every branch of government and in every branch of the military. This is the Savage Nation. Be proud. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or Swiss America.
For me, there's not enough time. All right, welcome back, the reemergent majority that listens to the Savage Nation and is cheering Donald Trump. And an article finally came out. It was just written by Bob Unruh on WorldNet Daily. The headline is, Media Star, I'm the Architect of Trump's Message. It'll be on michaelsavage.com momentarily. He says, make America great again means borders, language, and culture. Talk. I'm going to read the article. That's what I do. Talk radio icon Michael Savage says GOP presidential frontrunner Donald Trump is winning because he's pushing the ideas that Savage himself has been bringing to the American public for years already. In a monologue today, Savage, heard by many millions of listeners and syndicated in, I think, 250 markets, said the Savage Nation has now risen to national prominence through the victories of Donald Trump. For 21 years, my message has been borders, language, culture, Savage told his listeners. My last 3 to 4 books, if you look at them, my solutions for saving America. Many of these bullet points or talking points have been and are being used by the Trump campaign to the credit of Donald Trump and, of course, to the benefit of the United States of America. And I'm going to take credit, not for getting out the vote. I certainly wouldn't take credit for that, but for being the architect of Trump's messaging. On Trump's campaign positions page, he lists U.S.-China trade reform, VA reforms, tax reform, Second Amendment rights, and immigration reform as priorities. On the day he announced he was campaigning for the GOP nomination for president, Mr. T pointed out that the illegal aliens coming into the U.S. across the southern border sometimes bring crime with them. Savage, 3 years ago, responded to a listener on that issue. Confronted by the assertion that immigration is needed, Savage pointed out 3 years ago, quote, wouldn't a sane and rational society select the types of immigrants they want, rather than a willy-nilly wholesale amnesty for 30 million, many of whom don't even work, close quote. Savage then cited 3 years ago the 30% of prisoners in the United States who are illegal aliens. Savage said his message has been echoed by the Trump campaign. There is no way to refute that. Everyone who understands the realities of what Trump is doing and why he is popular understands it's related to what I have written going back to several books now, he said. Savage, the recipient of the Freedom of Speech Award from Talkers Magazine, famously is the only member of the U.S. media ever blacklisted and banned from a Western nation. You see, in 2009, Britain put Savage on a list of 16 people banned from entry because the government believed their views might provoke violence, but the U.K. never specified which statements it found to be dangerous. On the Second Amendment, Trump says the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed upon, period. Savage said in 2011, quote, only an armed nation will survive. On tax reform, Trump, who now has won early voting contests in New Hampshire, South Carolina, and Nevada, advocates for tax relief for the middle class and simplifying a tax code. Savage is the author of Trickle Up Poverty, which charges that Obama is like a leftist adolescent who, quote, takes apart a priceless watch that was carefully passed down to him and cannot be put it back together again. We're doing a victory lap, Savage Nation. Ride the wave. Be proud. The ideas you've listened to for all these years are now common currency in America and in the media. It's only going to get bigger and bigger. Thank you for listening.